Today, sharing the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Chagiga Daf Yud. We begin on Yud Amud Aleph, seven lines down from the top with the new Mishnah. We're learning today, Lili Nishmas of Bella Goldschmidt. All the Neshamas we learn for should have an Aliyah from our learning. And we begin with the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Heter Nidorim Porchin Boavir, Ve'en Lohem Ama Shiyismochu. There are many, many dinim dealing with nedarim. If a person makes a neder, what are the consequences? Can you be mati the neder? How you go being mati the neder? Under what circumstances can you be mati the neder? So these are very, very important and numerous dinim. However, the Mishnah tells us that they really don't have a substantive basis in the Tanakh, that there isn't a specific mention in Chumash telling us all of these dinim, and that's why he refers to this, according to the Tanakh of a Mishnah, as porchin bo'avir. They're, so to say, flying in the air. They don't have a solid ground for these halachos in Chumash, as we'll see as we go through the Gemara, what this exactly means. However, Hilchos Shabbos, Chagigos, and the Hami'ilos, these laws dealing with the halachos of Shabbos, we'll see exactly what we refer to, the halachos of Chagiga, that's why this is brought down over here, and the din of Mi'ila. Mi'ila is when somebody by accident takes something from Hekdish and brings it into their own possession or uses it in some way, gets to shove a prut that's worth vanoh from it, and they therefore have to go and pay the Hekdish back, the principal, as well as a chomish, as well as bringing an asham Mi'ila. So the laws of all of these three things, Shabbos, Chagiga, and Mi'ilos, they have a little bit of substance in Chumash. Harehim keharorim hatluyim bisara. They're like mountains that are being held up by a thread, by a sara, by a very thin hair, by chut hasara, by the a thread of hair. So therefore, they have some basis, more than the dorim that are called porchim ba'avir. So this is the next category that we have, atluyim bisara. Then you have the Mishnah explaining what this means, Shehein Mikra Muat, there's very little Chumash dealing with them, Vahalochas Rubas, but there are a tremendous amount of Halochas. Now, obviously, the Gemara is going to question, says there's lots of things mentioned in the Chumash about all of these dinim. So, what do you mean by that they're held up by a thread, by a hair, and not by a tremendous amount of substantive statements in Chumash? And we'll explain this as well when we get to the Gemara. Finally, the last category, Hadinim, those laws that deal with money, items, financial matters, litigation, va'avodos, those laws that deal with the korbanos, hataharos, va'tumos, those laws that deal with tum and tara, va'arayos, and those laws that deal with sexual immoralities, all of these things, yeshlem amash yismochu, the hein hein gufei Torah. There are many sources in Chumash for these last series of dinim, dinim avodos, tum and tara, and arayos, and these are the essentials of Hinein Gufei Torah. Now, obviously, this also requires a tremendous amount of explanation. What do you mean? These are Gufei Torah and everything else that we said in the Mishnah and all the other things in Jewish law are not Gufei Torah? So all of this requires a tremendous amount of explanation, which we're now going to begin. The Gemara starts off and says, Tanya. Now, the way the Rabbeinu Hananel understands this is that the Tanya that we're now bringing down, this Brisa, argues with our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, as we pointed out, Nedarim Parochim Ba'avir. Nedarim have no real substantive base in Chumash. It's all halachos that are, so to say, flying around. And that's what the Rabbeinu Hananel says, that our Mishnah says, Ein lohem amash yismochu, but now, Tanya, as we'll see, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, yesh lehem, they do have something to be somechon in Chumash. And that's what we're now going to explain in this brisa. Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, yesh lehem amash yismochu. In fact, Nedarim do have a substantive basis in Chumash. Because the pasuk tells us in two places, Shenemar Kiafli in two places, Kiafli, Kiafli Shtei Pamim. Rashi reminds us where it says this. He tells us that you have one pasuk in Erchin and one in Nozir. It says Kiafli Neder BeErkecha, and then it says Kiafli Lindor Neder Nozir. So you have the words Kiafli mentioned in two places. So therefore, why does it tell us in two places? So as it tells us, this is the what Nedarim are somechon, achas haflo le'isser, but v'achas haflo le'heter. Haflo means to say it, to express it. And therefore, a person sometimes says a neder to express that he's fulfilling the neder, but then he can go and retract the neder. There's hataras nedarim, and that's also an expression. The person says, I have charata, he goes to the base and says, mutalach. And in this situation, you can have a second, so to say, expression that retracts the first. This concept of hataras nedarim, this is the illusion because it says the word kiafli, kiafli shtei pa'amim. So that's the source for Belezer, that it's, you do have some source, it's not just parchim ba'avir, but you do have a little bit of a substantive source that you smochu, that you can put the dinim of nedarim on. That's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. We'll have another number of Tanoim that give an opinion. Then we'll have Shmuel at the end. Shmuel's an Amor, of course. Next Tanoic opinion that says there is Masha Yismochal. But a dorim, that's Rabbi Yeshua. Yeshua Omer, he says also that there is some smach that you have over here from the dorim, and that's based upon the pasuk that we have in Tehillim, which tells us, Shinemar, Asher Nishubati V'Api, right? We say this every Friday night in the Kabbalah Shabbos, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I have sworn in my anger, Nishbati V'Api, Im Yavoa Menuchosi, that you're not going to come to the resting place. Tosfos has two possibilities what this resting place is. It's talking about the door of the Midbar not going into Eretz Yisrael because of the Chet and the Raglim, the Chet of the Egel, or it's referring to Klai Yisrael eventually going to Olam Haba, and that those people, certain people, will not go into Olam Haba. Now, so it says, Asher Nishbati Bi'api, meaning Bi'api Nishbati, but I only swore in anger, and therefore I could have Charata about the Shvua, the Chazarti Bi. So this idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu swore Bi'api in anger, Kaviyochel, so that's an allusion to the fact that if a person has Charata over what they said, they swore in anger. Then afterwards, they calmed down and said, "Well, I wish I hadn't made that shua." So then, there is a concept of hataras nedarim as well. Nishbati v'chazarti bi. That's the drush over here. Only because of ba'api nishbati. That's why chazarti bi. That's Rabbi Yeshua. The next Tana, the third one, we had Rilez, Rabbi Yeshua. Now we have Rabbi Yitzchok. Rabbi Yitzchok Omer, Yeshlam Ma'ashi Yismochu. The Nadarim also have some smach from the following pasuk Shenemar, because the pasuk tells us in Chumash, it says Shenemar. When it comes to the parashos that we're learning right now, in the upcoming weeks, we're going to learn about the various donations again that are reiterated in Vayakal and Pikude. So it says, Shenemar kol nediv libo. It says, a person who is a generous heart. As Rashi points out, kol nediv libo hevio. He adds the word hevio with the pasuk. And it says, imodenu libo nodvo olov. If your heart is still interested in giving it, you made the pledge, you made the neder, and a week later, let's say, when you have to go fulfill the pledge, if your heart is still into it, then you go and bring it. However, the mischarit, if you have had charata about having made that pledge, so then, yetirulo, then there is a concept of hatar sadarm. So that's learned out. Rabbi Yitzchok says in the word kol nadiv libo. The fourth Tanoic opinion is from Hananya ben Achi Rabbi Yeshua. Hananya was the nephew through the brother of Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua is Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya. So Rabbi Yeshua's nephew was named after Rabbi Yeshua's father, the Zayder, Rabbi Hananya. So Hananya, who was the nephew of Rabbi Yeshua, he said the fourth explanation for where you see a smach from the Dorim, he says, Yesh la mamashi yismochu, from the following pasuk, Shinemar. The pasuk tells us from Tehillim, Nishbati, David Melo says, I swore by Kayema, and I will keep what I swore, which is Lishmor Mishpatei Tzikecha, to go and fulfill and keep all the mishpatim that you are Kosh Baruch given your righteousness. Now, this implication is, Rashi tells us, midikomar vor kayema, that I will fulfill it, that implies, mechal, dimrotzu shaloi kayem, if he chooses instead no longer to fulfill them, matirlo, that you can have hataras nedarim. So, these are the four Tanoic explanations that nedarim have some sort of a smach. The Tanah Bamish said it had no smach, but we brought down Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yeshua, we had Rabbi Yitzchok, and now we had Hananya ben Achi Rabbi Yeshua. These are the four Tanoic opinions. Now we bring in a fifth opinion. This is from the Amor Shmuel. Amor Yehuda Amor Shmuel, Ihavoy Hasam. If Shmuel had said, if I had been there when they were having this discussion amongst these four Tanoim, Amilu, I would have told them the following source. And I would have said, Didi, my source is Adifa Miditru, is a better source than yours. As the Gemara will see in a moment, you could slog up all of these four Tanoic opinions and say that it's really not a smach for Nedarim, whereas Shmuel's opinion is not able to be slogged up. What was his opinion? Shinemar. He says, it says in the Pasuk in Bamidbar, it tells us, lo yachel dvaro, when it deals with Nedarim, the pasuk says that a person should not de-sanctify, he shouldn't make profane his word. In other words, if a person said something, he should fulfill it. But the implication from that is, who ain't a mochel? He's not allowed to not go fulfill what he said. Others, however, can give him hataras nedarim. Aval acherim mochel lo. Other people have the ability to be mochel him in his neder. In other words, to do hataras nedarim. That's what the pasuk means. Shenemar lo yachel divaro. Now, Rava tells us, "Amar Rava lekulu is lupircha, labar mishmuel the less lepircha." All of the four tanoim that we brought down, a reason for where you see nedarim have a smach in the Torah, all of those could be pushed aside, and one could argue that it doesn't show you a real, true hataras nedarim smicha. However, Shmuel's statement lo yachel divaro, that can't be shlugged up. Where do we see this? The Rebbe Eliezer, the first one, he said the double lashon kiyafli. No, Dilma, can Rebbe Yehuda shama mishum Rebbe Tarfa? Maybe it was Rebbe Yehuda who said it for the generations before in the name of Rebbe Tarfa. What was that? The Tanya. Rashi gives us background. The first wide line at the bottom, he tells us Beis Shayu Yoshu. There were two people that were sitting. Ubo Echad lifneim, and somebody else appears before them. They don't yet know who he is. Omar Echad, and one of the two people sitting, Reuven and Shimon are sitting. They see Levi coming in the distance. So Reuven says to Shimon, Hareini Nazir. Reuven says, I will be a Nazir if this person coming towards us, Levi, is a Nazir. The Chadeiro, Shimon, who's sitting with him, Omer, Hareini Nazir, Sheinu Nazir. I will become a Nazir if, in fact, Levi is not a Nazir. And it turns out, when Levi comes, he's either a Nazir or not a Nazir. He's either a Nazir. Then Reuven would have to take upon himself the zeros. If he's not a Nazir, then Shimon would have to take upon himself the zeros. So what's the din? Even though you find out now that either Reuven or Shimon, technically his neder has been fulfilled, so in that situation, he's not a neder. Why? Because Naziris has to be a vadai Naziris. I hereby absolutely am becoming a Nazir. Not if this happens, then I'm a Nazir. Ela baflor vadois mifureshes. And that's why you need the word kiafli to teach me that it has to be an absolutely clear, no mistaken possibility. That's why you need kiyafli. So therefore, you can't tell me from Rebbe Eliezer that it tells me that there's a concept of echad haflo le'yisuv, echad haflo le'hatter. No, that's not correct. And therefore, that's what it says here, the Tanya. Rebbe Yehuda Omer Mishum Rebbe Tarfa. Rebbe Yehuda was the opinion that said Mishum Rebbe Tarfa. Olam ein echad mihem nazir shalom nit naziris el haflo. That's this opinion, Rebbe Yehuda, in the name of Rebbe Tarfa, that you need the word kiyafli to tell us it has to be a vadai naziris and not a sofek or taliya type of a naziris. So that's why Rebbe Eliezer is not a perfectly good proof. The next one, Rava says, Mid Rabbi Yeshua, Imid Rabbi Yeshua. What did Rabbi Yeshua tell us? Rabbi Yeshua's opinion was, Asher Nishbati Bi'api, implying that Bi'api, I made the nether, and I can have a Torah when I'm no longer Bi'api. So, again, Rava says, that's not necessarily so. Maybe this is what the words Asher Nishbati Bi'api are coming to teach us. And that is Bi'api Nishbati, the lo hadronibi. I have sworn in anger, and therefore I'm not going to retract it. And in fact, that's what happened. The door of the Midbar didn't go into Eretz Yisrael, or there are certain Rishayim that won't get their share in Olam Haba. And Tosfos brings down in Dibur Maslo Ba'api Nishbati, says there is an opinion in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Perka Chelek, where it talks about that the door of Midbar, Yeshlam Chelek Olam Haba, so in Cain, Ika LeMedrash Vadronabi. So that opinion would say that you could go back and retract, but the opinion that says that they don't have a Chelek in Olam Haba would say that they, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, did not retract it. So therefore, this opinion from Rabbi Yeshua is not correct. Not an automatic, definite smach from the dorm in Chumash. The third one, from Rabbi Yitzchak, Rava says, even Rabbi Yitzchak, Doma, maybe not. What did Rabbi Yitzchak say? Rabbi Yitzchak said that Nediv Lev, implying that if you had a change of heart, then you didn't have to go and bring it. So he says, no, maybe not. Dilma Lafu Kimi the Shmuel. That is there. You need the word Nediv Lev to exclude what Shmuel said. What did Shmuel say? Doma Shmuel, Gomar Belibo, Tzarek Shiyoti Bisvasov. As Rashi says, Shavua, a person made in his heart, a Shavua, O Neder, O Hektish. In his heart, he heard a speech and he got excited about it. And in his heart, he said, yeah, I'm going to make this pledge. And then he didn't express it with his mouth. And then he changes his mind. So therefore, you need the word Nediv Libo to come and tell me, Vokam Ashvalon, the Afal Gav the Lohotzi Bisvasov, even though you do not express it with your lips, that nevertheless, Nediv Libo, anything in your heart, is going to be in fact a Neder. And Shmuel seems to be saying otherwise. Gomar Belibo, Tzarek Shiyoti Bisvasov. So the Tosus points out, Dibra Maskul Afumi Shmuel says, Lav Mishum the Lesley Shmuel Gomer Belibo. Shmuel also agrees that if you're Gomer Belibo, Dog Krok Siv, that's what the Pasuk says. Elamoke, the Kachim by Azara who Dixiv. He's talking about Kachim that you brought into the Azara. The Kachim bid the Azara is the Girs of the Bach. So even Shmuel agrees in certain things that Nediv Lev in your heart is a obligation, and Lamaisa, we say that if a person truly said something in his heart, he should fulfill what he says in his heart, but he's not obligated to do so. In any event, this is maybe what Rav Yitzchak needs the pasuk for, Nediv Lev, to teach us this idea, as opposed to Shmuel's idea. And therefore, it's not a raya that there's a smach to Hataras the Darm in the Torah. And finally, the fourth and final Tana was Chananya Benachi Rabbi Yeshua. So Rava says, "E min the Chananya Benachi Rabbi Yeshua." You're telling me that that's the source where it says Nishbati Vakayemo, implying that if you don't want to, you don't have to be mekayim. He says, "No, that's Dilma Kirav Gidol Amarav." That may be needed in support of what Rav Gittel Amarav said. What was that? Rav Gittel Amarav, where do we see that a person is allowed to make a neder in order to go and fulfill a mitzvah? We don't say that this is an unnecessary thing. We say that it is a good idea, as Rashi brings down over here. Klomar mitzvah, shehi odom nishma l'kai mitzvah, that it's actually a good thing. It's a mitzvah to go make a neder that you're going to fulfill a mitzvah. Why? K'dei sheyemar v'yizdareiz l'kaima. That will spur you and urge you to go and fulfill it. Because on your own, you say, I'm not going to do it for whatever the reason. But now you made a neder. A person doesn't want to break his neder. So where do we see that this is a good idea? So that's the pasuk. Shenemar nishpati v'akayema. I made a shvur, and therefore I will be makayim l'shvur mishpatei tzikecha. So it's a spur, but Lav Dafka is teaching us the concept of Torah. So Rava had schlugged up all four of the Tanoic explanations for where we see a smach from the Dorim in Chumash. And therefore Rava concludes and he says, Elo de Shmuel. Shmuel said, Lo Yachel Devaro, that Lesle Pircha. There's no way to schlug that up. That is a valid and perfect drosha for smach l'nedarim in Chumash, because you can't be Mechel your neder, but others could be Mechel your neder for you. They can do Hataras Nedar. And this led Amr Rava, or Vitemar of Nachman Yitzchak, this led Rava to continue saying, or alternatively, it was Rav Nachman Yitzchak, who therefore said, Hayin d'Ariyesha, this is the popular aphorism that people say, Tovo chadapil palto charifto mi melei tzana dekari. It's better to have one really, really sharp pepper rather than to have a whole basketful of kari, of melons. In other words, the statement of the smaller Shmuel compared as an Amora, compared to the Tanaim, as great as Shmuel was, an Amora is not a Tana. And therefore, Shmuel is referred to as a small pepper, yet he was very sharp. And therefore, one sharp small pepper, one sharp Amora was able to sort of negate all the four opinions. A whole basketful over here, a male Tana. Tana is a basket. So a whole basketful worth of Tanaim, he was able to go and negate that. His sharpness, so to say, outdid the four Tanaim. Okay. That was the first section of the Mishnah. We said, our Tana of a Mishnah said that there's no smichus for Nedarim in the Torah. It's just Parchim Ba'avir. And we brought down the four Tanoic opinions, and Shmuel said there is a little bit of a smichus. And now we go to the next section of the Mishnah, which said that Hilchos Shabbos and the Dinim that we brought along with Shabbos, Chagigos and Me'ilos, they're like Harim, like mountains, Hatluim Besara, that are being held up by a thin hair. Now, we start off dashing first Hilchos Shabbos. We're going to get to Emir Tzashem in a moment, Chagigos, and then Me'ilos. So first we start off with Shabbos. Where does it say anything in Hilchos Shabbos? So the Gemara says, Michtav Ksiva, what are you talking about that they held up by a thin hair? We have large chunks of Psukim that teach us about Shabbos in the Torah. So the Gemara says, no, Lo Tzricho, we need this over here, L'chid Rabbi Abba. This is Rabbi Abba's drasha. Dama Rabbi Abba, Hachofer Guma B'Shabbos, if a person digs a hole on Shabbos, not because he wants a hole, he wants the dirt. He needs the dirt. The fact that a hole has been created is not in his interest. So, in this situation, potur Allah. This is not an issa daraisa, because as we'll see in a moment, the reasoning why, because you didn't intend to go make the hole. You wanted the dirt. And therefore, this is not an issa daraisa. So therefore, this is what we're saying, that it doesn't mention this specifically in the Torah. This isn't the pasuk in Chumash, yet this is one of the halachos, primary halachos, meleches machsheves on Shabbos, and you have to have intention to do certain things on Shabbos, and therefore you're not going to be over an issa deraisa, even though you dug a hole, which in other situations, you dug a hole, that's plowing. That could be binyan, it could be a whole bunch of other isurim. Here, it's not, because your intention was only for the dirt. Now, whose opinion is this that you're not over an issa deraisa? Come on, this is the famous opinion. We have a machlokes, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda throughout Shas about this. This is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Damai malacha she'enu tzricha lagufa, a malacha where you do not need the item that you're doing. You don't need this hole. You don't want this hole. You just want the dirt. Therefore, patur la, there is no issa over here for the digging that you did, because you wanted the dirt. You didn't want the hole. That's the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda throughout Shas argues with this and says, no, a malacha she'enu tzricha lagufa is chayim. Rabbi Yehuda would say this is an issa deraisa, and Rabbi Shimon would say it's not. That's our first assumption here in the Gemara. Gemara says, no, I feel him, Rabbi Yehuda. You could say that Rabbi Abba's din over here that says, Hachof Guma B'Shabbos, Ein Tzorech Ali Lafara, is also a fulfillment of this concept that Hilchos Shabbos are suspended in the air like a mountain by a hair. So he says, I feel Tamar of Yehuda, because Hossam Misakin. And where Rabbi Yehuda argues with Rabbi Shimon is when you're improving something. So he says, according to Rabbi Yehuda, even though you have no intention of improving the item, but you did improve it, but you improved it, so Rabbi Shimon says Patur, but Rabbi Yehuda says Yibichayev. Now that's only when it's a din of Misaki, when you're going to actually go and improve it. And Rashi gives us the classical example where Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon are arguing about Nebuch, you have a mace inside the house, and you want to take the mace outside in his bed to go and bury him. So are you allowed to do this on Shabbos? So Rabbi Shimon says, yes, this is not an Issur D'oraisa, Patur al hotzozu, because you had no intention, Shibritzonu lo yitzor bo elov, lo yitzorich lo. You didn't want this person to be bedafka carried in Shabbos, you just didn't want him in the house. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda said, no, in that situation, you are going to be chayiv. Now, in that situation, you're going to be because you're improving situations. But here, the Gemara says, I feel the Rabbi Yehuda, that case was misakin, but hocha, here, when you're digging a hole in your house or in your courtyard, you're ruining things. Hocha mekalkilu, and even Yehuda is molded by mekalkil, if you're destroying something, that you are not going to be over in Issa Daraisa. So therefore, this idea that in fact, Rabbi Abba tells us that Hachofer Gumim B'Shabbos, that is an example of over here, of my Keharorin Hakluyim B'Sara. Why is this an example of Hilchos Shabbos that are being held up by a thin thread, a mountain Hilchos Shabbos being held up by a thin thread? And we turn to Yud Amud Beis, because this is the famous rule of Meleches Machsheves Osra Torah, or Meleches Machsheves Lo Kesiva. This is the whole idea that your intention in doing Hilchos Shabbos, that is very critical. The top Rashi says, Shamachshova Chashuva B'daito V'niskavila. You have to have an intention to do something over here. V'zeh lo niskavila L'binyan. This person had no intention of building a hole in the ground over here as part of binyan, and therefore he's potter according to everybody, even at Rabbi Yehuda, because it's the kalkel. V'zeh remez mu'at. And this is the little bit of a remez that we have over here, because it is therefore considered like a din of Shabbos that's being held up by a thread. Dil melechas machsheves b'Shabbos lo k'siva, because it doesn't state it specifically, but it does mention it by the Mishkan. That's the little thread by the Mishkan. It says in next week's parashah's Vayakel, so it tells us over there the concept of melechas machsheves in regards to Shabbos. And therefore, this is alluded to in the pasuk a little bit. This is the hair, so to say, that's holding up the mountain. Okay, that's where we see this by Hilchos Shabbos, by Chagigos. The next part of the Mishnah in this section said the Karban Chagiga is also a din that's held up by a little thread. So Gemara again says, Michtav Sivan, what are you talking about? The Pasuk says, Chagosim Oso, Chag Lashem. So we have Beferish Pasuk that says you have to bring a Chagiga. What are you talking about? A thread being holding up the mountain. So it says, Lo Tzricha, we need this. L'chidoma lei rapapa l'abayi. This goes in accordance with Rapapa said to Abayi. What did he say? He said, Mimai, the high, the chagosim, oso, chag lashem, is a reference. This pasuk, how do you know when it says that you shall go and chagosim, you shall have a chag lashem, you shall make a chag lashem? How do you know Zvicha? Where do you see that this is referring to a carbon? Oh, maybe Dilma, chugu, chaga, kamarachbona. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to us, have a party, make a big kiddush, make a big simcha. But who says anything about korbanos? How do you know that the words v'chagosim, also chag l'Hashem, is actually referring to a korban chagiga? Therefore, that's what it means, that it doesn't tell us beferish all these dinim, it's like a thread holding up a mountain. So that is what Rapapa said to Abayi. But not everybody agrees to that. El Mayata, based upon this, what Rapapa said, when the pasuk says "Dechsev Yachogu Li Bamidbar," it says afterwards Moshe and Aaron went to Paro and they said to Paro, "Let Klal Yisrael go out to the desert for 3 days, Yachogu Li Bamidbar, and then we'll return." Are you telling me there, Hachanami, the Chogu Chagahu, that it didn't mean to bring korbanos? It meant they're just going to go out and have a kiddush, have a party, have a big celebration, and then we're going to come back without bringing korbanos? That can't be. Well, the Chitem Hachanami, you say, yeah, maybe, yeah, maybe that is. Maybe they weren't going to bring korbanos. But the pasuk says, well, Ksiv, Vayom Moshe, Gama Toti Tem Biodenu, Zvachim Vyolos. We're going out to have this big party, this big celebration, bringing korbanos. And you, Pyro, also going to give us korbanos to bring, Zvachim Vyolos. So you're going to give us all types of shlomim and olos as well. So how can you tell me that it doesn't say Beferish over here, doesn't mean Zvicha, and this is an allusion over here that's like a thread holding up the mountain, a hair holding up the mountains, and it says Beferish. The Chagosa means a carbon. So the Gemara says, no, maybe not. Maybe the Pasuk is saying over here, Ichlu Ushesu V'chogu Chaga Kamai. That yes, you're going to eat, you're going to have a kiddush, you're going to have a big fleishig meal, but who says that these are korbanos? Maybe you're going to be chulin. You're going to go shecht animals, and you'll have a big kiddush, but who says that they're korbanos? So therefore, you can't bring me a raya from what it says over here by Moshe and Aaron telling Paro that you're going to give us zvachim, the olos. So the olos, they may be korbanos, but the zvachim, that doesn't have to be korbanos. So therefore, you can't bring me a raya. V'chagosim definitely means a korban. So one says, no, don't even think that. Lo soka daitach. That's an incorrect understanding because the pasuk says, d'chsiv, v'lo yolin chelev chagi ad boker. The pasuk there in Mishpatim tells us, v'lo yolin chelev chagi ad boker. Don't leave over the chelev of the chag, meaning the carbon, until the morning time. V'soka daitach, d'chuga chagahu. If you're telling me it's not a carbon, it just means to have a party, so then what concept over there of leaving over the fats is there by a party? That doesn't make any sense. Therefore, it must be that it's talking about a carbon, the carbon chagiga, and therefore we ask the question of our papa, how can you tell me doesn't mean zvicha, that it just means a party? Doesn't make any sense. Or says, no. No, it still does make sense, because maybe this is what the pasuk tells us. You're right. When you bring a carbon chagiga, that you're not allowed to leave that fat over. But you have to go burn it in the morning if you left it over, if you didn't bring it up on the Mizbeach. But there, in V'chagos V'so Chag L'Shem, it's talking about just having a party. He says, no, that's not right. It's only the fats that are brought on the Yontif that you're not allowed to leave over. And the fats the rest of the year, you're allowed to leave over? That's not true. The pasuk tells us, call a Laila at a Bokiksiv, that you have to go and burn the sacrificial fats at some time on the night. If you don't burn them at night, then they're no, sir, and you have to go burn them in the morning. That's talking about all the time. Why would we think on Yontif it's different? Oh, for the fact that it mentions over here, Lo yolin chelev chagi ad boker, that's coming to teach us that there must be a chagiga. The word chagosim implies a chagiga. So Rav Papa is wrong. Someone says, no, he's not. Dilma, imehahu, if we only had lo yolin chelev chagi ad boker, you know what would have said? Hav amina haoli asay. That's telling us that there's a mitzvah over here that you're supposed to burn all the sacrificial fats. You must burn them before the morning comes. So it's a mitzvah asay to go and do that. Therefore, if you only had that, you would only say it's a mitzvah saseh. So kasa rachmana, so therefore the Torah says, lo yolin chelech ri ad boker, kasa rachmana hai lelad. That's to add on to the mitzvah of burning the fats, that there is, in addition to the aseh, there's also a lo saseh. What says again, lelad, kasa krachrina. We already have a lelad. The pasuk says, lo yolin min habasar asher tizbach b'erba yom rishon la boker. So there really is an aseh and a lo saseh. So therefore, lo yolin chelech ri ad boker is coming to teach me that it's a zevach, that it's a carbon, and Rav Papa's wrong. Where it says, no, again, maybe the Dilma Lav or Olo Bishne Lavim Yaseh. No, this is a second Lo Saseh. We find that in some places the Torah wanted to show you the seriousness of the Avera, and it adds another Aseh to it, another Lo Saseh to it. So here, in addition to the single Aseh, we have two Lo Sasehs. So therefore, Rav Papa is correct that maybe the word Vachagosim doesn't automatically mean a Zevach, and therefore that's what it means, that this is a mountain that's held up by a hair. Mark says, no, that's still not correct. Elo, Asya, Midbar, Midbar. The real source over here is this Gzeir Shava of Midbar, Midbar. What is that? Siv Hacha, it says over here, V'yachoguli ba-Midbar. It says over here in Parsha Shemos, it says that you will go and celebrate Yachoguli ba-Midbar. Now, Uksiv Hasam, it says in Amos. Now, Amos is, of course, Navi. It's in Treyasar. So this is a strange Gzeirah Shavah that we're going to say Midbar, Midbar, from Torah to Navi, which we normally don't do. So therefore, it says in Amos, Siv Hasam Hazvachim Umincha Higashdam Li Bamidbar. It says, did you in fact bring me Korbanos in the desert? So therefore, Malahalon Zvachim. Obviously, Amos is talking about Zvachim. So Afkan Zvachim. So to over here, it means that the Chagosem is referring to Chagiga. So therefore, Rav Papa's svara of chagosim, that it's not a carbon, is incorrect. And in fact, there is ksuva kasivina, that it is written in the Torah. So then, if Rav Papa's wrong, so then umay kaharin hakluyim basara, so then why is this a din that's called, and it's held up by hair? If you have this gzei rishava, midbar, midbar, so therefore it's beferish written. So why are you telling me that it's like a thread, a hair that's holding up the mountain? So Gemara says, because divrei Torah, divrei Kabbalah, lo yafinu. Ah, exactly what I pointed out. You have gzei rishava here from Shmos to Amos, that's not a normal gzei rishava. And in fact, it's really an asmachta. And therefore, since we don't make gzei rishava from Chumash to Navi, this really isn't the definitive source, but it's a little bit of a source. That's why it's called a hair that is holding up the mountain Horin, Hatluyin Bisara. So this is the second one. We had Shabbos, then we had Chagiga, and now we go to the third one in this category. Me'ilos are also called something that are Keharin, Tluyin Bisara. Where is that by Me'ilah? So Gemara says, again, Michtav Kasvinan. There are Beferish Psukim that tell us about the din of Me'ilah. Again, Me'ilah is when a person usurps something by accident from Hektish and has to go and pay back the principal. He has to pay a fifth, a chomish, which means a fourth from the inside, a fifth from the outside. If he took $100 worth, so he has to pay back $125, $100 to the principal, and then a fourth from the inside, which is $25, which is a fifth from the outside. $25 of $125 is a fifth. And he has to be in carbon Asher Me'ilah. So, Michtav Kisvinan. This is all written in the Torah. So Gemara says, Amar Rami Bar Chama. This is referred to as a harim hatluyim b'sara because ella lichiditnan for the following mishnah. This is a mishnah that we have in Me'ilah, which tells us hashaliach she'asa shlichuso bala bayis mal. If Reuven sends Shimon to do something for him, and it turns out that what he did was Me'ilah, so one might have thought that the shaliach Shimon, who's actually doing the act of deconsecrating, he would be chayiv. But no, the mishnah tells us that the shaliach is not chayiv, but the one who sent him, shliach she'asa shlichuso, the bala bayis, the one who sent him, is over Me'ilah. So in this situation, Reuven sends Shimon, and Shimon did Me'ilah in accord with what Reuven told him to do. Reuven is chayiv for the Me'ilah and not Shimon. But that's only when he did his shlichus exactly like he was instructed to do. Lo asa shlichuso, if he didn't follow exactly what Reuven said, Shimon did something else. Now Shimon, if he's doing it on his own, so shaliach mal. In this situation, if he didn't follow the exact shlichus that he was assigned to do, so then Shimon, in fact, would be chayiv and not Reuven. Gemara says, v'chiyosa shlichuso amai mal. But wait a second. Why do we say over here that the bala bayis is mal in the first situation where Shimon did exactly what Reuven told him to do? So why isn't Shimon the one who's over Me'ilah? He's the one that did it. Why do we say that Reuven, the one who sent him, the bala bayis is chayiv? V'chizech ote, v'zim is chayiv? Shimon does something wrong and Reuven tells the cannibal? This is the example. Hainu kaharin hatzluyim b'sara. This is an example of a mountain, this din of Me'ilah that's being held up by a thread. So that's what he says. Amar Rava. Rava says, Umay Kushu, why is that a problem? Dilma Shani Mila. Mila is different. Why? Because the Afinun Chait Chait Mitruma. Rashi points out what this Gzeir Shava is. It says in Torah's Kohanim in Vayikra, it says, Nemar b'me'ila v'chato b'shkoga mikotchi Hashem. So it says there v'chato, the Nemar b'truma, and it says by truma, below sisu olav chait. So we have the word chait both by me'ila and by truma. So ma hasam shlucho kemoso, just like by truma, it says that the shliach is acting on your behalf. The chsiv kein torimu gamatem. This is the drasha of gamatem. V'omamar gamatem rabu shluchaschem. So by truma, the shliach is considered that he did it on your behalf. So too, Rava says over here by Me'ilah, the shliach is considered that he did it by behalf. Ma'hosam shlucha shlodim kamoso. I'm kind of shlucha shlodim kamoso. So why is this such a strange din that you're telling me over here? This is an example of harim nakluim misara. This is a regular din that we learn out from truma. We learn it out to the din of Me'ilah. So Rava therefore says, Elama Rava, Rava tells you this is the answer. The answer is Lo Nitzucha. Where do we see that this is Kaharin Atluim Misara? Lo Nitzucha Elulucha Tanya for the following Brisa. Nitzkar Bala Bayis. So Reuven sends Shimon to do something, and this is with consecrated funds, but he didn't realize it at the time. Then he goes and checks his pockets. Oh no, I gave Shimon the consecrated funds. So now it's no longer going to be Bishogeg for Reuven. Nitzkar Bala Bayis. But the shliach has no idea. So Shimon's going on his merry way, and he has hektish money in his pocket. So therefore, shliach mal in this situation, since Reuven now knows that it was hektish money, so the shliach, Shimon in this case, is considered to be moel and not the bala bayis. Shliach, the more says, the poor shliach anya, my covid, what did this poor shliach do? He's just following what Reuven told him. So this Rava says, Hainu keharin hatluyim b'sara. The fact that we say in this situation that Shimon is now mal and not Reuven, as opposed to when Reuven didn't know, so then Reuven's the one that's mal, but here, since Reuven knew, he retracts, so to say, his shlichus, and now the poor shliach anya, so he had no concept he was doing anything wrong. Nevertheless, he's considered to be mal. This is the example of a din, haharin hatluyim b'sara. So Rav Ashi doesn't like this. Rav Ashi says, my kusha, why is this a problem? Dilma, me did the habi amotzi mos hektish l'chulin. This is no different than if a person by accident takes out coins. He had them in his pocket. He thought they were chulin. And turns out they were hektish. He also had no idea what he was doing. So how is this any different? The poor shaliach, the shliach anya, he had no idea. So too the person who took the coins out of his pocket has no idea. Why is this any different than that? So therefore, Rav Ashi rejects this din of Rava, and he says, here's the din. Elo Amar Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi says, Lo Nizucho, we need this Elo Lechititnan. That's needed for the following Mishnah. It's also a Mishnah Me'ilah, where it says over here, Notel Evan or Korish Lechdish. If a person took a stone, an evan, or a korah, a beam that belonged to Hekdish, so then Harez Elomual, he's not yet Chayv Mila. However, when he gives it to his friend, he now gives it to his friend at that moment in time, who Mual, however, but the friend that he gave it to is not Mual. So the obvious strange thing over here, this is going to be the Harim Tlui Masara, this din is hanging by a thread, by a hair, so Rav Ashi says, why do we say when he took it, he's not Chayv Mila, and only when he gives it to a friend, he is Chayv Mila? Mechte, let's take a look over here. Mishkal Shokla, he took it. When he took the beam or he took the stone, he took it. So why do we say he's not Chayv when he just took it but didn't give it to his friend? Malihu, why is he not Chayv in that situation? Mali Chaveru, but when he gives it to his friend, he's Chayv. Oh, this is the example. Hainu, Keharin, Hatluyim Asar. This is the case where we have that this din of Me'ila is something that's hanging by a thin thread. The whole din of Me'ila is hanging by a thin thread over here. That is what Rav Ashi tells us. Mara says, not so fast. My kushu, why is this a problem? Duma, maybe it's like Kiddushmo. What did Shmuel say? The Amar Shmuel said, ha-ha, in this mission over here in Me'ila, and we turn to Yeralef and Meralef, Bagizbar Hamisuros Lo Avni Binyon Askinon. You know, we're talking about that this is the guy in charge of the stones and of the beams of the Beis HaMikdash. So he is entitled to have them in his possession. The Kol Hecho de Mancha, and wherever he puts them down, it's still Birishuso de Dei Mancha, it's still considered in his possession, and therefore it's considered as still in the Beis HaMikdash's possession, and it's not considered Yamila. It's only when he gives them over to somebody else. Now it's gone out of his Rishus into the other person's Rishus, and now there's a din of Mila. Why is that strange? This is not something unusual. Or it says, Taki, you're right. So keep on reading in that Mishnah. In that Mishnah Mila, it says in the Sefer, Elami Sefer, Binah Besoch Beso. If this Gizbar built this stones or beams into his own house, then he's not considered over Me'ila until he actually lives in it and gets a penny's worth of benefit from living underneath it. Now, or it says, Michte, Shanuye Shanya. By going and building it into his house, he's made a shinoi. So why is it not considered that it left Hekdish and went into the din of Me'ila from the fact that he made a shinoi in it? Mali dar, mali lo dar. Hainu ka'arin atluyim misara. Says, what difference does it make if he lived in it or he didn't live in it? Oh, this is the din that we're talking about. This is a din by Me'ila that's like a hair that's holding up the mountain. Because there shouldn't be any difference over here. Once he did a shinoi on it, he should be over Me'ila. But it said you're not. So therefore, only over Me'ila, when you get a shavu's proof is worth of hanah from living underneath it, so then this is one of those dinim that doesn't make any sense. Keharin hatluyim besara. It's like a hair holding up the mountain. Mara says, well, my kosher, no, this is perfectly logical, because Dilma l'chidir Rav, maybe this goes like the sheet of Rav. What did Rav say? Dilma Rav, kigon sheinicha al piaruba, that he put in this beam, or he put these bricks in over a skylight, and therefore, it wasn't cemented in, it was just blocking the rain from coming in, it was just blocking the outside from coming in. So, only Idarbe, if he gets Hanah from it by living underneath it, now he can live underneath it. The rain's not dripping down on him. He had the beam over there. So now he's getting Hanah, Shavapruta. Now he's over Me'ila. Idarbe in, but Lo Darbe, if he doesn't go live underneath it, then Lo, it's not cemented in. And therefore, he's not over Me'ila. It's still in the Rishos of the Gizbar. It's still in his possession. He's the Gizbar. He's acting as the base of Me'ilish. There's no din of Me'ila. So again, why is this strange? This is not a din of Harun Hatluy Misara. This is a regular din. So Gemara says, you're right. Ella, let's go back to what we said a few minutes ago. Ella liolam kidir Rava. The din is like Rava. What did Rava say? That how come Reuven, when he took the money and gave it to Shimon, so in that situation is when Shimon does his shlichus, so Reuven is over Me'ila, not Shimon. But if Reuven finds out, realizes before Shimon did the act of Me'ila, that in fact it was Hekdish money, so then in that situation, Reuven is no longer Mal. The Balabais is not Maul, but the Shaliach is Maul in that situation. So we said there, why is that so strange? Ella Leolam Kidir Rava, we said with the Kokashlok, that which we said, that's not so strange. Meet it, Avi Amotzi Maul's Hekdish Lechun. This is no different than any person who doesn't realize he has Hekdish in his pocket and he goes and spends it, so he's over Me'ila. So to over here, the Shaliach Anya, the poor Shaliach, he didn't realize he had Hekdish and he's over Me'ila. Why is that any different? So he says, no. Hosom Ne Dayoda Diika Zuze de Hekdish. In the normal case of somebody who by accident usurps the Hekdish funds. He knows he has Hekdish funds in his house. He just thought that these were the Chulin funds. And therefore, that's why he's over Me'ilah. Hossam made the Yod Dadika Zuzi Hekdish. He knows that there's Hekdish funds in his house. He should have been more careful. He should have realized that maybe these are the Hekdish funds, and that's why he's over Me'ilah. He should have checked into it more carefully. He said, hey, where are those Hekdish funds? I want to make sure these aren't the Hekdish funds. However, our Shaliach Anya, our poor Shaliach, Shimon in my example, what was he supposed to do? He had no idea that there were Hekdish funds over here. Hacham yada. Nevertheless, as soon as Reuven realizes that Reuven says, I'm not with me, Moel. I wish Shimon, my Shaliach, would stop. So Shimon has no idea. Nevertheless, Shimon is Chayav Mila. This is the example of Hainu Kiharin Hatluyim Besara. This is the third and final example over here. We had Shabbos, we had Chagiga, and now we have Mila. This is an example of a din that is has some substance, some basis over here. However, it's like a mountain that is hanging by a thread. These are what the Mishnah is referring to. With this, we conclude today's shiur.